Sound of Hockey episode 287. We're calling this one the Ethan Gauthier episode. Why are we calling it that, Curtis?
Well, Ethan Gauthier, second round pick for the Tampa Bay Lightning in last year's draft, happens to be the number 287 overall prospect when I was looking at NHL equivalencies for all NHL affiliated prospects. He plays in the Q for Drummondville. Drummondville's actually going to the Memorial Cup.
Yeah.
And Ethan Gauthier is the second leading scorer in the Q playoffs. So there you go.
And that only gets him to number 287 on the list. That is, it's a deep list right there.
Yeah, the methodology is a little whack. We'll see.
Just so we're clear, is this is Ethan Gauthier related to Cutter Gauthier?
No.
Spelled the same?
No.
No. This one's spelled what?
So this one is, actually, it is spelled the same, but they are not related.
So how's it spelled?
It's spelled Gauthier.
Oh, okay.
Which is the same as Cutter. But
so not like Gauthier, the Australian one-hit wonder.
Oh.
Famous for his song, Somebody That I Used to Know.
Let's put a pin in that.
For later.
Pin in that.
All right. We could come back to it at the end of the show.
You're going to sing the female part?
Whoa.
It's a duet.
Yeah, we'll see how it goes.
This is Sound of Hockey. I am Darren Brown at Darren Fun Brown on the X, joined as always by John Barr. Hello, John.
Hello, everybody. I'm NHL 2 Seattle on the X.
And Curtis Izaki. Hello, Curtis.
Hello, some people. I am Curtis Izaki, and I am Deep Sea Hockey on the X.
Some people.
Some people.
Well, you were very emphatic that it was everybody, and I was just like, I don't know about everybody.
By the way, we thought that the Ethan Gauthier pick for 287 was appropriate because it is what we're calling Prospect Week here at Sound of Hockey. If you've been following along on soundofhockey.com, Curtis has had a couple of great articles up there this week looking at some NHLE data, which he just referenced, NHL equivalency data, to try to stack rank some different prospective NHL players. So he started with Kraken players and he ranked the top 20. And then he did, how many prospects across the league did you do?
I think it was
287.
Well, yep, it was north of 287.
It was 946.
Okay, so we can continue to use this for the next, how many years will that last us then?
Well, 2 years. Are you going to update the data too?
Yeah, no, this could go on forever.
All right, that's good. We've finally figured out, because there it's always a little peep behind the curtain. It's always the very last thing we do before we start recording is we have to figure out what number to name the show. And so that'll really help. We can just go right down the list for the next like 10
We're
years.
Set. We're set.
So nice. That's good.
Love it.
That's good. Thanks for that, Curtis. We do have, oh boy, this is going to be a doozy. We have a 5-star review to share.
Okay.
And Kraken Fan 50 went above and beyond in putting this one together. And by putting it together, I mean, they really did put something together here. It says, love your pod and wanted to give a special singing review for Darren to tackle.
Oh, no.
This is meant to be sung to the tune of Prince Ali from Aladdin. Hope you enjoy.
Oh, man.
Now, I have to, before I start this, and I am going to try it. Before I start it, it's a little hard for me to understand, and it is great, but it's a little bit hard for me to understand like how the words match up to the actual tune of the song. So I'm going to get challenged by this a little, but I'll do my best.
Good luck.
Hey, turn it on when you're in the car. Hey, listen in while you travel far. Oh, come be the first on your block to hear this pod. Leave a 5-star review and they'll read it for you. You're going to love this pod, Sound of Hockey, wonderful pod. Yes, you should listen. That's not how it goes. I think I screwed it up already. I think that's supposed to be, you're going to love this pod, Sound of Hockey, wonderful. That's what it is.
Okay.
Sound of Hockey, wonderful pod. Yes, you should listen. They get 5 stars because they really are great. They've got lots of league-wide news, X of the Week and Bad Boys 2, but where they really shine is when they dig in and get Kraken-specific. Sound of Hockey introduced me to Goalie Gear Corner, something I first thought only goalie nerds would love, but Darren's enjoyment, his childlike enthusiasm, made me look anew at all the goalie gear, including blockers, pads, and goalie gloves. Sound of hockey, wonderful pod. You know you should listen. You couldn't ask for better hockey podcasters. Stick taps for Andy. Enjoy John and Curtis, Izaki, and Darren Fun Brown trying to keep them on tracky. Unless they've had some college sodas. Sound of hockey, 5-star review.
Wow.
5 stars for that review and 5 stars for the singing.
That's right.
Just tremendous. Wow.
The beginning was a struggle.
I mean,
I don't know.
Dude, but you got
first
there.
Take, kind of, right?
Yeah, that was first take.
Yeah.
I saw this come in a couple of days ago, and I've been trying for a couple of days to wrap my head around how those lyrics were supposed to go. And I thought I had it figured out, but then when I started to go, it went off the rails. Anyway, there's a lot more to this, actually. Just 50 years old when she first left Pod a review. Thanks for informing all of us and letting us join in the fun. Look forward to more pods. Thank you for the time and all the effort. Lots of nice stuff. Thank That's you awesome. So much, Kraken Fan 50. That
wow.
was
amazing.
That was above and beyond on your 5-star review. Hey, leave your 5-star review. It doesn't have to be lyrics to a song, but you could. and if you do.
I can't believe how game you are to do things like that. It's pretty impressive.
Hey, we've said it from the beginning. You leave your 5-star review, and as long as it's like semi-appropriate, we'll read it on the podcast. So doesn't matter really what you say. you have a shout out to Jared?
Yeah. Jared.
Is that you?
That
notes?
Is me.
Okay.
That is me who left the note.
I mean, are you, yeah. not, I'm not are you Jared. Jared?
No.
Yeah.
Yeah.
That was
pretty
clear.
Cool. I was coaching some kids on the weekend, learning to play, and another coach comes up to me. He's like, hey, is your name John? I'm like, yeah. He's like, John Barr? I'm like, yeah. He's like, oh, I listen to the pod. Love it. Blah, blah, blah. So pretty cool story. I think he's been playing hockey for about a year now, but he's on the ice like 5 times a week. He originally from Houston, but he's been listening to the pod for over a year. He's like really cool, and now he's helping out kids learn to play hockey. So very cool. So thanks Jared for saying hi, and good job with the kids.
This is going to be a fun episode. We have a lot of prospect talk as part of our prospect week. So in addition to our written content, we're going to be talking about it today. And we do have a special guest on this episode. I am very fresh off of a trip to the Coachella Valley area, which was just meant to be sort of a vacation with my wife. And because we had to go to San Diego for a wedding anyway. And then we were like, well, I really liked going to Coachella Valley and to Palm Springs with Curtis for like the less than 24 hours that we were there. I'd love to go check it out for a little bit longer. And since we're going to be there anyway, so we rented a car, drove over. We hiked in Joshua Tree, which I know you did.
Where'd you hike specifically?
I'm not really sure what it would have been. It was called the Maze Loop. It was just a just a loop. Yep. It was 5 miles. It was really, really stunning. We went at like sunrise. It was really cool.
Oh, very cool.
But and I played some golf, you know. Anyway, as part of this trip, I was able to work in the interview with David Goyette. So it's actually in person. I wasn't really sure if this was going to work out, so I didn't bring like the whole recording setup. So I was using my little like mobile mic that plugs into my phone, but it worked pretty well, just maybe not quite the sound quality that we sometimes come to expect on this wonderful podcast.
I feel like you always have the highest standards.
I
on
do.
That.
You yeah.
do.
So, yeah. I love well, it. And I also edited it on the plane back today, and with like my AirPods that don't block out sound very well. So it's come for the content, okay? There's some good stuff in there, but I think it's fine. Anyway, it's a great interview coming up soon. No coach update yet from the Seattle Kraken. There was some speculation from Elliot Friedman, but I always wonder how much of it is actually just speculation. But he indicated that his three candidates are Dan Bylsma, so no surprise there. Todd McLellan, who is rumored to have already interviewed. We had heard that already from public sphere. And then assistant coach Jay Leach, who we also tabbed as a potential. So,
I know that Jay Leach was interviewed. So,
okay.
Yeah. Or at least that's what I'm hearing.
Yeah.
So
from sources.
From
hashtag sources.
Sources. Friends with sources.
League,
or fans
league
with sources.
What do you call them?
Sources.
Leagues.
Yeah.
People, not league sources. I guess that would be somebody.
Connected people.
Okay.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So
if I keep asking you questions, eventually will I figure out who the source is?
No,
do you think?
But you should let me deal with my sources because you wouldn't ask Elliot what his sources were, would you?
I'm not convinced Elliot has any sources.
Well, on other things.
I'm just kidding.
But on other things.
Yeah.
But I think that's not a huge leap to think those three are candidates.
Right.
Right. And it's also not a huge leap to think that they would interview or consider Jay Leach and Dan Bylsma regardless, even if they're not going to be the choice at the end of the day. I mean, if you want to at least have the possibility of some ongoing relationship with them, you would.
And they were
them.
Literally, I think they both were literally in your article.
Yeah. So, of course. I mean, no surprise.
Yeah, very, like, you wouldn't need to hear through the rumor mill that they've been interviewed to assume that they're going to be candidates. Now, I do still think, and I know I said this either last week or the week before, but I think take all these rumors with a grain of salt. I think that you never really know what this franchise is thinking on these kinds of things. And we totally saw that with Hackstall. So that's repetitive, again, because I've said it before. But
And just another thing, this organization doesn't talk. Now, that doesn't mean people that interview with the organization don't talk, or their camp might, but that means you might not get a complete picture of what's going on. So,
and I also wonder if, well, I don't know if I should say that, but anyway,
great. We'll just think about that the whole time.
It's good podcasting right there.
Just leave the listener wanting more.
Yep.
Maybe I'll say it later. No, I think I have a theory. I'll say it. It's totally speculation on my own part now. So I'm kind of making this up, but I sometimes wonder if, have I said this before? Maybe I said it on the podcast.
Swerve tactics.
Yeah. Well, not really swerve tactics, but more about like, I think that Hackstall's ability to keep that news close to the vest, that he was getting hired and interviewed and all that, I think that might have helped him a little bit.
Mm-hmm.
I think that's just my opinion. Because I think Ron likes to keep things really like close to the vest, as I just said. And I just think that there was another candidate that was very close to getting hired, and that name was very much out there. And now he's the coach of the Vancouver Canucks. And like I think we were all like, oh, yeah, they're hiring Tockett. That's what's happening. And then news came out. I was like, oh, it's Dave Hackstall.
Well, and I think, to your point, I think that's a good test, right? If you're going to let this stuff get out, then what are you going to do once you're
in front of the media inside every single day?
And you know, there's always incentives for, like, let's use Todd McClellan as an example. If he's interviewing somewhere else, right, in a way it's like, make it sound like there's smoke in Seattle. So
he
gets hired faster or has more leverage, right? If, let's say, Toronto comes to him tomorrow and says, oh, well, he's talking to Seattle. So
100. I mean, my reaction to it was, two obvious internal candidates and one external candidate that has some motivation to get his name out there as having interest in him. That doesn't mean there are others. There are probably others. Yeah.
And isn't that interesting that, like, right away, his name gets out there too, right?
Yeah.
McClellan. Yeah. So anyway, let's go down on the farm. Moo. And we're going to, that was an extended moo because I think we're going to be spending a lot of time on the farm on this particular episode, because I think we have a decent amount of prospect talk to work through. We have some Firebirds updates to give. I'm going to talk to a Firebird in a bit, so you'll hear that interview coming shortly. And we also have like WHL news, lots of stuff. So we're going to spend a lot of time on the farm on this one.
It's good. It's a good time.
It's good
for
hard work,
it, right? Yeah.
It means you're getting up early.
Gotta get ready for the season.
You're
summer
putting
season.
In the, yeah. You're putting in the work. You're sowing seeds, you know?
Yeah. Yeah.
We took that as far as we could.
So let's talk about these prospect rankings that you did, Curtis, because I thought they were pretty interesting. So the first one was the data only ranking of Kraken prospects. If you can just give a very layman's terms explanation of how you did this, that'd be swell, but make it a lot shorter than how you write your articles.
I'll try my best. So hockey, a little bit more so than some of the other sports, the players who aren't at the NHL level play in a lot of different leagues that have different competition levels. They're professional leagues in Europe. There's the AHL, there's the ECHL, and then there are junior leagues in North America and Europe. So, you know, you might have a prospect pool where you've got 25, you know, prospects there, and they're playing in 12 different leagues, mm-hmm. right? So how do you compare the production of those prospects? How do you know whether they're doing well, not well? What might they do in the future? One way to do that is to look at scoring data and try and adjust it based on the league they're in. And that's what's called an NHL equivalency. And a lot of folks have done research on this. There's a lot of good, you know, if you just research NHLE through the good old Google machine, a bunch will come up and you can read about how it's done.
Okay, that's google.com?
Yes,
no, it's google.com. It's the Google machine.
It's the Google machine.
Google machine.com. Okay, I'll check it out.
Yeah.
Actually, I wouldn't try. I don't know.
It's a machine. It's hardware.
Google.machine.com.
Yeah,
okay.
Yeah, I got it. All right. So I just used one of the more recent studies in that area to kind of build this list, compare the Kraken prospects just based on their scoring data. And I made some adjustments based on, you know, how old they are. Like, because I think it's pretty intuitive that an 18-year-old scoring the same amount as a 24-year-old in the same league, the 18-year-old's on a better trajectory than the 24-year-old. So that's pretty much what I did. It's not really, I'm not trying to get into, oh, I like this player more than that player. It's just an attempt to give some context for where these guys are at with their development.
It was scandalous that Yanni Newman, not to bury the lead or spoil the whatever the phrase is, Yanni Newman shows up number one on the list, not Shane Wright. That's interesting.
That is true. And I'm sure was surprising to me, and I'm sure not many people would agree that he is the number one prospect in the organization.
Do you agree?
That he's the number one prospect in the organization?
Yeah.
No, I don't agree with that.
Okay.
Because that's where like subjective factors come in. Now, Yanni Newman did have, and I think we've talked about it on the podcast, did have a very good season in Liga in Finland. He had the most goals by a under 20-year-old player in like 40 years in Finland. So this is not like the season he put together is not anything to ignore. But Yanni Newman has some development steps left. I think when you look at his game that someone like Shane Wright doesn't. You see him, Yanni Newman's playing with the Firebirds in the playoffs right now. You see him play and there's some, it looks to me like there's some holes in his game that Shane Wright doesn't have. But what he can do is shoot the puck. And that, you know, obviously helps you when you're looking at a ranking that's just based on scoring data. So he has that part of it. And Yanni Newman is also a little younger than Shane Wright, which helped him, you know, in the way I did this. So yeah, Yanni Newman came out number one. And I think that's my biggest takeaway from this, was just how I ran these numbers. Yanni Newman came out one. I think that's only interesting in the sense that just keep his name in mind. He's not someone we should be,
sleeping on. Yeah.
Yeah.
I agree. I think he's got a very bright future. I think there's some things he needs to work on before he's an NHL player. But yeah, it's exciting. Now, the top 10, as far as the NHL E gave them, Shane Wright was number two. Carson Rakoff was number three. David Goyette, he's the guest on today's episode.
Okay. Yeah, I heard
he's number four. Jagr Furkus, number five. Ryan Winterton, number six. Logan Morrison, seven. Riker Evans, eight. Oscar Fisker Mulgaard, number nine. Ville Otavainen, number 10.
So
not in the top 10.
Yes.
Edward Schala.
Not in the top 10, Edward Schala.
Yeah,
that is
number
correct.
13. You know what I just realized? There's no number 12 on here your article.
There's a lot, and that was intentional.
Yeah, after the top 10, I just kind of called out
specifics. I didn't notice that when I went through and carefully edited this.
You know what's funny? As I read through it, I'm like, why is there missing? Wait, there's multiple gaps here. Like, this has been up all day.
Yeah.
I'm like, how did this happen? And then now I get it.
Yeah. So,
probably should have put a little disclaimer in there in retrospect.
Like the rest of other,
whatever.
Well, I think there was a disclaimer in there, but.
Was there? Did
editing,
I miss it?
Yeah, the editing.
Yeah, I don't know. About
suspect
that.
On this website. But yeah, so. So Edward Schala, you are actually a great editor. I should give you your flowers on that one.
Wow.
Edward Schala, he played in the top level Czech professional league last year and kind of took a competition level step down to come to North America and play in the OHL and only had, you know, less than a point per game, which, you know, you're talking NHL production. That sounds great. But, you know, the top players in the OHL are like well over a point a game. They're over a point and a half a game. And he was at about half that pace. So wasn't near the top of the league. Still the same kind of skilled guy that they drafted.
Have you looked at like his production after the trade versus before the trade?
Yeah, it was where his production was better actually was in the playoffs.
I know that.
But post trade it was about the same.
Okay.
I think he had like kind of that new team bump, like he scored a little bit right away and then it kind of flatlined. But he did play a little better in the playoffs, which is interesting to me because I think that with him it's really about, is he fully committed? Is he engaged? Is he like playing 100%? And it seemed like in the playoffs, maybe he was, and that's how he needs to play. And I just don't know if he's figured out how to do that.
That was the knock against him in a lot of,
it's kind of a bad thing to be concerned about. I feel
it was, but it was the same kind of feedback before the draft.
Yeah.
So
the thing,
yeah, I remember
the thing with him, you get the puck on his stick in some space, and he's like, it's like, oh, this guy looks like an NHL player.
Yeah.
But then, like, can he do the other things that you need to do to get to the NHL, like the off the puck stuff, and actually like playing offense with your teammates? That's the stuff where he needs to take a step forward.
Seems like an important skill.
Those do sound important. Yep. Yeah. Well, hopefully, I don't know, because you wrote in that article that he seems like a scouting miss at this point, and it's like, it still feels really early to say that. I mean,
it is early.
Development takes different times for different people, certainly, but the early returns are a little concerning. I'll agree with you on that. It doesn't feel like his trajectory is going upwards the way that I think they would have hoped to see at this point.
And that's something, like, in a way, I struggle with. That it's like we're rooting for this guy, right? And he's supposed to produce, and I'm not certainly not giving up on him, but we need to be real about the outlook and the seasons yet. Because, you know, how often have we talked about Rakoff and Furkus this season?
Yeah.
We glowing about it. And Goyet, you know, and we didn't really talk about Schala very much. So,
yeah. I do think I agree with both of you. Part of me, it is early, but at some point, I mean, we should be keeping tabs on it. We need to be thinking about it. I mean, a 20th overall pick, if that is ultimately a miss, I mean, that's part of the story of their draft history, right? It's been good on the whole, I think, but Edward Schala is kind of a question mark right now.
And there are plenty of first rounders that aren't, I don't want to say call them a bust yet, but like that just don't pan out. Mm-hmm. So, I mean, it's not something we should, we're not immune to it, you know?
And the other thing that I should mention, just from having looked at draft data a lot, and I'm sure you've seen this too, John, is it's really, you're talking like top 5-10 picks in a draft are like closer to lock, like they're going to be NHL
players. Those are bad misses, right?
Yeah. If you miss up there, it's really bad.
Yeah.
But even if you're getting to like the back half of the first round, it's kind of like, well, you know, you're already starting to get into like dart throwing.
Right. We only call it a second round because it's, it's after 32, but the reality is
in any
given
draft,
really starts around 10 to 15.
Yeah. It depends on the draft.
And sometimes there's like a drop off from 3 to 4.
Right.
And then 10 to 15 or something like that. And so anyway,
not all prospects hit. And I did see somebody commenting that it was like, oh man, what if they had taken, I don't remember who.
Misty, probably.
Musty.
Gabe Perreault.
Yeah. And yeah, absolutely. But also, you don't know, right? Like your scouts go out and do the best
they
can.
And they still haven't made it, right?
Exactly. So, maybe those two are farther along in their development curve than Schala. You never know how it's going to play out. And I mean, the Kraken have, in theory, hit with a lot of their second rounders who would have been picked lower than Schala, right? Like a lot of the guys that we've talked about were not first round picks. You know, Yanni Newman is, by the data, he's the number one prospect in their system, right? I know, you know what I mean.
Yeah.
So then in your subsequent post, which I think that's a good segue, you put a listing of all NHL affiliated prospects, which is what we talked about at the beginning of the show. And in that one, the Kraken are looking quite good. Their top two prospects are number 14 and number 16 with Newman and Wright. And then, but the good news is there that they have a bunch of guys that are kind of in the top 50. And technically, as an organization, what you found is that they're actually first in the league in terms of number of players in the top 50. So
yeah,
that seems like a good thing to me.
So again, but I just want to be completely clear that this is just based on scoring data, and we know the Kraken draft scoring data players, right? So there is something where it's like kind of reinforcing, like the Kraken's own view of the world, right? They draft high scoring players, they value that, and lo and behold, those guys are continuing to score below the NHL level. Now, for the players, that's a pretty good caveat. Yeah, for the
players in
the top 50 that you were talking about, you know, there's Jagr Furkus, there's David Goyet. These are guys that do have scouting questions, right, about them that maybe other teams were like, this guy might have been a first round pick for us, but for this. And for both of them, it's pretty much size, and can they hold up in the NHL? And so that's just the caveat I want to put on it is that, yes, by how I did this, my look at it, the Kraken had more of the top 50 scoring prospects outside the NHL than any other team. If you draw back further, you know, look at a broader sample than top 50, if you look at like the top 200 prospects outside the NHL, it's the Kraken aren't number one, but they're still near the top of the list. They don't have maybe quite the depth of some other organizations, but they're still up there near the top. And I guess the only other caveat I'd put on this is that, of course, prospects outside the NHL don't tell the whole story, right? You know, you might have a good young player in the NHL. Like, for example, the Kraken have Matty Beniers. He's not scoring in the AHL. He's scoring in the NHL. So that's not part of this data set. So as if you want to look at it...
Right, like Montreal's doesn't have Slavkovsky in exactly. their prospect pool because he's in the NHL.
Correct.
Right?
Or Connor Bedard is right. in the NHL.
Who? So, wow, never heard of that guy.
Yeah. Yeah. So to account for that, if you go to soundofhockey.com, I did try and do a map out, like a graphic of... these are the teams that have players, young players scoring in the NHL, and these are their prospects. You know, which teams have both, which teams have one and not the other. So you can take a look at that. The Kraken, as you might expect, don't have as much young scoring already in the NHL. I mean, they have Ty Cartier, Ryker Evans, Matty Beniers, but they obviously show up favorably in terms of what they have coming. So,
all right. I don't think I have anything to add to that.
So maybe it's looking ahead in the coming weeks, yeah. you know, like, because I think it was great to look at and kind of, I mean, our and we're doing another, there'll be another post Thursday about our individual rankings.
Yeah, so by the time you're hearing this, you've already seen what our, like, kind of eye test rankings
I
are.
I stacked mine from the poolside in Palm Springs. So I sent a picture to Curtis yeah. saying, I can't believe you're making me work right now. And it's like, picture, my beautiful picturesque pool that I was lying by.
It was a good list. Yeah. Okay. It was a good list.
So, thank you.
The one thing I'll say, and again, we're yep. probably getting a little ahead of ourselves because as we approach the draft, one thing that's clear to me is that, and it's been clear, not just with this analysis, but our D depth is really lacking, don't you think, in a prospect pool?
Yeah, I agree with that.
It just doesn't, it feels like there's no like up and coming. Like, I'm not saying Otavainen is bad, but it's not like, ooh, really excited for, like, we were probably really excited for Ryker more than any other defensive prospect currently in the pool. So,
yep.
Which makes me think that, and there should be a pretty decent D-man available at the 8 slot.
Yeah.
But I'm also like, I haven't really thought about too much drafting for need versus yeah. drafting best on board.
Yeah.
Because that stuff kind of naturally, you can fix that later with trades and stuff.
Right. I've wondered about that. How much need factors in. It might factor in if you think this players coming this year or something like that, you know, and you have the top pick and there's like a NHL ready defenseman and an NHL ready forward, then maybe.
Right.
But that's not going to be the scenario at eight.
Yeah.
And I've always kind of thought just like relentlessly take the best players. And if the best player is a forward, that's just, you know, you like you said, you'll figure it out later.
Well, and we've talked about this many times this podcast too over the years, is that you never know how the organization is going to change shape by the time these yeah. guys get there, right? Like they right. could bring in players that are on contracts and now somebody's boxed out, you know? So like they always go for the best player available. Mm-hmm. Now, I think they've leaned very much on these scoring type forwards. So yeah, yep. they might take that into account a little bit, but... Robert Kron has told us many times on his interviews that they go for the best player available. I think that's still the case. We'll see.
It may happen, though, to John's point, that the best player available is a defenseman this year.
Yeah,
it's just how this draft looks.
And like all things being equal, choose the defenseman if you need that.
Right. Exactly. Right.
Yeah.
If you have right. two players that are exactly the same.
Yeah.
Now, all this is going to be moot when they trade the 8th pick for Mitch Marner anyway. So.
Oh, there you go.
Oh, boy.
Is that a prediction?
No, but.
That's just a funny joke.
John and I did a little debate on Sound of Hockey.
Oh, yeah. I enjoyed
it. Wasn't
week.
Much of a debate, right?
I know. It was we just kind like, of were on the same side.
But
like
you disagreed about one thing.
Just
right?
the things to think about. So I landed on, I don't think they should do it right now because of the timing. Because
right.
I don't okay. think they're one piece away.
There we go. That was the heated debate we had.
Yeah, we really got into
laid
it
into
there.
Each other.
Yeah, yeah, we were pretty mean to each other. You had a good point that the Rangers, using the Rangers as your example, they once acquired Artemi Panarin while they were like pretty early on in their rebuild yeah. stage. Their rebuild happened really fast and they were like really aggressive with bringing in some veteran players. And then they also happened to get the numbers 1 and 2 picks, I think, in what subsequent years with Coco and Lafreniere. Was that back to back or like 2 years between them? Or
was Coco, was that
Capo
back to back years?
Not
yeah.
Coco.
Yeah.
That's.
Kakanami? No. Yeah, Nicholas
Paco,
Coco?
Not going to work here anymore.
Yeah.
Okay. But anyway, you know what I'm saying. Like,
yeah.
It happened fast for them. They were aggressive. It's an interesting model, but I mean, that's not, you know, the Kraken aren't really on that trajectory either.
No,
so,
no.
Nor are they at that stage in their, yeah. So,
but they're closer to competing, I guess.
than the Rangers were when they traded.
Yeah, that could be true. Do you think, I don't know,
But it, my theory is, like, if a talent like that becomes available, you get him.
Yeah.
So.
Yeah.
So, that's all. Like, now, if it was right on the edge of a rebuild, like, where it just started, then I don't think you do it. Because that's 5 years that player could. Because Panarin still played, like, 3 years with the Rangers not making the playoffs. So, it wasn't like it was, like, within a year or two they were in the playoffs. So,
Curtis, who did you have at number four on the Kraken prospects list?
So, number four was David Goyette.
Okay, cool. Let's get to our interview with David Goyette. We now welcome on to Sound of Hockey a very special guest. He was a second-round pick of the Seattle Kraken in the 22 NHL draft. He racked up an outrageous 282 points in 197 games over three seasons in the OHL with the Sudbury Wolves. Now he's getting his second taste of life as a pro hockey player here in Coachella Valley. I'm very happy to be with him. David Goyette, thank you so much for joining us today.
Yeah, thanks for having me on.
I'm here visiting Coachella for the first time. Second time for me, but I was only here for like 12 hours last time. One thing I noticed is that it is brutally hot here right now. How are you adjusting to that? I imagine it's a little bit different from life in Sudbury.
Yeah, it's a lot different for sure. I mean, it's awesome being here. I mean, the weather's great. You get to come to the rink wearing shorts and slides every day, so it's pretty much different lifestyle here than in Sudbury, just wearing snow boots every day. But I'm adjusting pretty well, obviously trying to stay hydrated as much as I can, but no, it's been awesome.
The life has to be very, very different though, right? I mean, I'm thinking about you as a 20-year-old hockey player. You leave juniors, get this kind of taste of pro life. What is the adjustment like for you? What's day-to-day life for you right now?
Yeah, I mean, I think the biggest one's just living away from, like, the billet lifestyle. I mean, they were great. Obviously, my billets in Sudbury, you come home from the rink and they'd have food ready for me every day. But here you have to, do your groceries and kind of just cook your own meals. So that's been a little bit of an adjustment so far. But it's great. I mean, obviously, living with a roommate here, I'm with Ty Nelson now. So, it's been good just being with them. And, we're going to cook our own meals. And, yeah, just a different lifestyle for sure.
So we've interviewed Ty Nelson. I find that fascinating because you guys just had a playoff series against one another, right? Any love lost there between you two? Or, I mean, how's that relationship going?
Yeah, I mean, we were rivals in the OHL for a couple of years, but no, we're buddies. I mean, we've been knowing each other for quite a bit now, so it's been it's been good to live with him. He's a great guy. So, yeah, no, easy transition there for sure.
And that's a good segue because whenever we interview players, I always like to ask about kind of the journey and how you got to this point. And one thing that stuck out to me looking at your stats is that you played in that famed brick tournament for little kids, right? Like elite little kids, best little kid players in the world kind of a thing. Can you tell us a little bit about what you remember from that tournament?
Yeah, it was awesome. I mean, I played for Montreal Ice Storm in the brick tournament. It's like the best 10-year-olds in the world, I think. It's a like big tournament in the Edmonton Mall. So it's pretty sweet just playing in the mall there. It's you have like the sunshine on the ice. It's like pretty awesome feeling. There's like three levels, so it's packed, and especially as a 10-year-old, you're not used to crowds like that. So it's pretty fun. Obviously, it was probably one of the best tournaments I've ever, or the coolest I've played in for sure.
Yeah. It's funny. I mean, that pops up on your elite prospects page, and it's literally from when you're 10 years old. I don't know. I wasn't that good at 10 years old, so it kind of boggles my mind. But another thing that stuck out to me, though, is that you, even though you obviously grew up in the Quebec area, right, you did go to Connecticut to play. What brought that on, and tell me about that experience.
Yeah, I mean, so where I played in the HEO League, there after the U14 levels, there's U18 after that, and I just felt like going over to Connecticut playing for a prep school league, U15 there was, the best thing for me, I think, at that time, just going over, practicing every day there with a great group. I had Ryan Ward, who was my coach. He's now coaching in the USHL, won a championship, I think, last year. So, they had a good group there to make sure I was developing the proper way, and, just made my way over with a few friends there, yeah.
What was the competition that you guys played against? Because I know it's like a AAA team. Do you travel a lot to go play other AAA teams, like all over the U.S.? Or
Yeah, there we play in two different leagues. There we play in the Beast League, which was more like a regional league. So we play teams from our area, and then we'd play in every single big tournament, pretty much all over the country. Like we played Detroit, and we'd play also in Toronto. I think we did three tournaments in Toronto. So that it was pretty good, pretty fun year.
And again, you're putting up just hilarious stats there, 153 points in 65 games. At what point, though, do you start to recognize, like, hey, there's actually something real here. I probably have a future in hockey. Like, did you start to, maybe there's an epiphany or a moment where, like, people start talking to you, or what was it that made you realize that?
Yeah, I mean, I don't know. I don't know if I've ever really thought about it. I mean, I've always played in the highest levels and biggest tournaments, so with my age group, and then obviously always did well, like you mentioned, with my numbers and stuff. So for me, it was just more like an everyday thing, just getting to the rink and working on my game, trying to get better, and hope for the best. But yeah, obviously the big goal was always to make it to the NHL, so working on that every day. Yeah.
And you do get to go play for Sudbury, obviously. I do want to ask you about the Sudbury logo, because that thing has been fueling my nightmares for a lot of years. The like blood dripping off of its teeth. Like, what are your thoughts on that logo?
Yeah, I mean, I like it. It's old school for sure. It's been there for quite a bit. But yeah, it's a cool logo. I think we have one of the coolest jerseys in the OHL for sure.
I'd agree.
Yeah, I mean, and that wolf on the wire there is pretty special too. I mean, get to see it cross the rink for a few times, so it's pretty cool.
Have you watched the show Shorzy?
I've watched a few episodes, but I haven't really gone into it. I know my parents have, but I heard it's pretty good.
I'm just curious, in those couple episodes, how accurate of a depiction of Sudbury Shorzy is. Because I have watched the whole series, and it is pretty funny. But I think they filmed it in the same arena and everything where you guys played. Like, did you get that sense that it feels like Sudbury?
Yeah, I mean, yeah, that was pretty cool. Like, we were right in the rink when they were filming that. So a few of us actually got to play in the show. We're just like doing like background stuff, so you can't really see our face.
So you're in it?
Yeah, like some of our team teammates are in it and stuff like that. So it's pretty cool. Like, just got to live that experience. They were in our rink for about a month, just filming that. So it's pretty awesome.
I love that. You also in Sudbury, you played with a couple of stud young players there, and Musty and Dvorsky, and truly like one of the best forward lines across the whole CHL. I mean, what was it like playing with those guys when you have to have known every night, like, we're going to be putting up some points tonight, right?
Yeah, I mean, obviously every game you're trying to take over that game. I mean, when you get to play with special players like that, it makes it so much easier for you. But also, like, the three of us bonded pretty well right off the get-go here. I think whenever Dvorsky made his way over, it didn't take that long to adjust as a line. And we just had a really fun year together. It was pretty surreal.
You've had some interesting jumps in terms of your career, right? You go here last year. You played preseason with the Kraken. Now you're back with the Firebirds. What have been some of the like learning experiences that you've maybe gone through over these last couple of seasons?
Yeah, I mean, there's a big jump from junior to the pro hockey for sure. I mean, everyone's bigger, stronger. So I think for me, it's just everyday learning from those guys. I mean, it's been awesome being here in Coachella. Even last year, I got to come up and, you know, just learn from those guys. Like, they've been doing it for a long time, so they know what it takes. And just talking with them, going on the ice with them, just seeing what they do every day, just the pro routine as well, like what you put in your body and how well they take care of their bodies is a big thing here. And so trying to involve that in my day-to-day routine as well.
Do you have any individual players that you really look up to? I mean, that's one thing that I find really unique about this roster is there's a lot of guys that have played a lot of NHL games here. Your John Haydens, your Chris Driegers, your Devin Shores, right? Anything that jumps out from working with those guys?
Yeah, I mean, you can see it right away. Like, those guys are pros. And, like you said, there's so many guys that played NHL games here on this roster. So for me, it's just learning from them every day. Like, everything they do is just at a pro level. So just been talking to them. And they've been awesome with the young guys. For us, just to come in and being able to interact with them every day has been great.
Thinking back to your preseason appearance, that was the one time I got to see you play in person. And you looked like you really fit in. Like, you had some jam to your game. You had speed. You looked like you were keeping up. what did it feel like to be on Climate Pledge Arena ice with that Kraken logo on? What was that night like for you?
So cool. I mean, it was really the first time you get to put on the jersey for real, like other than the draft night. So it was really cool. Just especially the atmosphere in that rink too is pretty surreal. So yeah, no, I had a lot of fun playing that game. It was pretty fun.
Any like pinch me moments here where you're like, oh my God, I can't believe I'm experiencing this, either from that experience or from here down in Coachella so far?
Yeah, I mean, I don't know. Like, just the first preseason game last year was kind of pretty cool. Like, you're sitting in the room and you got like Jordan Eberle sitting beside you, and you know, Vince Dunn right across from you. It's pretty fun. Like, you know, growing up, you watch those guys on TV, so it's pretty cool just being around those guys. And then obviously when Tucker scored that goal there on our first shift, yeah, was pretty awesome. Like, the crowd went nuts. So yeah, it was really a fun experience.
Yeah. And I do want to talk to you quite a bit about what's happening here in Coachella. So, I mean, first of all, you have a pretty unique perspective, I guess, just being a young player and trying to develop your own game while there's this intense playoff push going around. What's it like working with the coaching staff here? Coach Dan, I mean, it seems like Jess Campbell is great at working with the younger players. What's your experience been like so far?
Yeah, no, they're awesome for sure. They take care of us. You know, right from the day we got in, they make sure everything's good with us, and then they stay out after their practices just to work on with us on a few things, whether it's like shooting drills or skating drills or whatever. You know, they've been awesome just working with us every day and telling us what their expectations are for us.
And what are your things that you're still trying to work on, still trying to develop personally?
Yeah, I mean, for me, it's a little bit of everything. Obviously, trying to work on my skating every day, my shot. Puck protection is a big thing, especially at the pro level. You know, retrieving pucks and stuff like that is all things we work on here.
Last one, and this is probably the most important. Are you working on your golf game down here while you're playing?
Yeah, I've gone a few times. I mean, I need to work on that for sure. Some of the guys here are pretty good. So
I hear there's some pretty good players down here. Yeah.
Yeah, I need to step it up a bit here. I'll make sure I hit the links a few times in the off season.
Yeah, there you go. You get the driving range, you know, all those good things. So David Goya, thank you so much for the time. I really appreciate it. Great chatting with you.
Yeah, thank you. Appreciate it.
All right. Thank you again to David Goyette for taking time to chat with me there. That was it was a cool experience, I got to say, to be able to drop in like that in their practice. And, you know, I actually ran into a couple of the Firebirds players aside from David Goyette, had a nice chat with their PR guy and their play-by-play announcer, Evan Pivnik. And he was also the one who helped me get that set up. So thank you very much to him. Thank you very much to David Goyette for the chat. And hey, be on the lookout for him when you're watching Shorzy, because apparently he's in the show, as he told you on that interview. Let's chat very quickly about, we're not quite off of Kraken Prospect Week just yet, WHL Championship, is it the Championship Series? Is that that's the official name for it,
yeah.
I think. So two Kraken prospects, as long as we're talking about that, playing each other, Tyson Jugnauth, who did crack your top 20.
He did.
He was number 20. And
indeed.
You mentioned that he's had a nice climb. He and the Portland Winterhawks are taking on Jagr Furkus and the Moose Jaw Warriors. Moose Jaw, as we're recording this, is up 3-0, and they might end up sweeping this series, but we'll see. You'll know, I mean, if you track it, you'll know by the time this is published.
Yeah, because they're actually playing game 4 as we record, yeah. So we don't know.
And so too, I don't think we talked about it actually, but so too are the Firebirds. They're also playing game 1. They're up 3-2 as we record right now. And so I should go back here. The series between Moose Jaw and Portland is 3-0. The series between Coachella Valley and Ontario is 0-0. It's game 1 of round 3. The Firebirds won round 2 against the Calgary Wranglers. In 4 games. I'm exhausted from trying to explain that for some reason. And from, it's been a long day, but.
Yeah,
no,
this,
you did it right.
And this Coachella Ontario series is best of 5 still, so.
Oh, they're playing the Where's Fuego? Find Fuego game. That's a pretty good game if you go to the to the arena. They put a fan on the actual camera, and then they tell them to go. Maybe they do something similar with Bowie, like a fight. But they did it many times.
Kids' Day. I think. Yeah. They did it on Kids Day.
Yeah, and then all the fans try to point out Fuego in the stands. He's wearing a red stripy shirt like Waldo. So
to be clear, Darren is watching the Firebirds
game.
Right?
It's directly behind Curtis. And Curtis is completely in line with like the middle of the screen, so I keep kind of wrenching my neck to try to look around Curtis. So while he's talking, I'm like looking off in the background.
That's
behind
pretty
him.
Great. But yeah, I mean the Coachella Valley and Ontario, 80 miles apart. Ontario hasn't lost in the playoffs yet. Good matchup.
You know who plays on Ontario Reign is Wyatt Wiley. Do you know who Wyatt Wiley is?
Yes. Isn't that... Wait. Wasn't he on the Silvertips?
He was, but he's also local here.
Like, yeah.
Very cool.
Like played in the junior Silvertips, but he was drafted by Philadelphia, played in their system for a couple years. So,
You know who else plays on the Ontario Reign? All Los Angeles Kings minor league prospects. Not well in the AHL.
Yeah. Well, and former Wisconsin Badger.
Mm-hmm. Go ahead.
I'm trying to think his name now.
Yeah, it's around the tip of my tongue also.
No, but he was like Turcotte.
Okay.
Alex Turcotte.
Yeah. Brant Clark, he's there.
Brant Clark's there too.
Yeah.
Amazing.
He's the number 6 overall prospect according to NHL E findings.
Yeah. Where was Turcotte? So going back to our discussion about Shala.
Yeah.
Turcotte, I think, was 5th overall, 5th or 4th, maybe 6th or 7th. So, but he was top 8 for sure, and he's not panning out.
Hey, before we leave the farm, we've kind of just been on the farm like loosely here for most of this show. ECHL, Kansas City Mavericks, way down on the farm.
Let's do it.
Chad will be happy about this. I think that was the person's name who wrote that in a review couple weeks ago. Kansas City Mavericks beat the Idaho Steelheads 4-1, and now they'll face the Toledo Walleye in the semifinal for the ECHL Kelly Cup, which, going from Steelheads to Walleye, I'm not sure which is
amazing.
More ferocious,
yeah.
right?
Yeah.
I think a steelhead is typically bigger.
Walleye sounds scary, though, to me.
Well, they have that creepy eye.
Yeah.
That wall
yeah.
eye. And they also have kind of a spiky like spine on their back, too. So they could do some damage if you grab them wrong. But I don't think they have teeth or anything like that. So
yeah.
Steelheads? That's like it's a salmon. Yeah, steelhead salmon. I think steelheads are bigger.
Mm.
They're both delicious in different ways. But
so they should grill them both up is what you're saying.
Yeah. And that's something a Maverick would do.
Yeah. I've got a little fact about the Toledo Walleye.
Okay.
Ooh, they are currently on a 22 game winning streak.
I don't like that.
I don't like the sounds of that.
So it's a matchup of a 22 game winning streak against the best record in the ACHL during the year. So
counterpoint, they're due for a loss.
Indeed.
And you already mentioned that the Ontario Reign haven't lost in the playoffs. Well, they're due, and they're, knock on wood, they're currently down 3-2 with 7 minutes left in the third period as we're recording this. So
I guess the ECHL record for consecutive wins is 23.
Yeah.
So hoping that the Mavericks can deal with that.
Amazing. One. Yeah.
On the other side, the Adirondack Thunder will face the Florida Everblades. Florida Everblades remain perhaps my favorite team name in all of professional
hockey. Not the Swamp Rabbits?
What about the Ghost Pirates?
No, I wasn't that. I thought Ghost Pirates was too gimmicky for me. So.
Okay.
I did like the Growlers, although the Growlers, RIP, they've gone defunct. Indeed. So, and then the Everblades moved right up to the top. One thing we haven't talked about yet is the NHL playoffs.
Those. Yeah.
So in the NHL playoffs, all the series are like kind of back to within reach. The Rangers series was almost a sweep, and now everything is, I think, 3-2, or in Edmonton, Vancouver, it's 2-2.
Yep.
So, and remember I talked about how I thought Stuart Skinner looked like he was faltering because he got rattled in, I think it was game 1. Well, yeah, they've put in Calvin Pickard now, and
former Seattle Thunderbird, right, getting his playoff debut at the ripe age of 32.
One thing that I thought was pretty funny in that game, somebody said, "Welcome to the National," because it's his first ever playoff game. And I'm like, the guy's been around forever. It's not like his, you know, he just hasn't been in that position ever, because he's a career-long backup goalie. Like, that's just what he's been for his entire NHL career, with some little spurts where he's the starter, but, you know, I don't think he's ever been the starter for a full season, so.
Do you remember he was part of the expansion draft for the Golden Knights, and they were, like, shopping him around, or marketing him around? He was on the tours and whatever, and then, like, was put on waivers, or maybe he was part of the Malcolm Subban trade or something back to Boston.
Okay.
So, like, people had Pickard jerseys. Like Golden Knights Pickard jerseys, because he was like front and center.
Yeah.
And then never played a game for them.
So. How about that? But that series, that one continues to intrigue me. I think it's been pretty fun.
It's a lot of fun.
We kind of talked about this a couple weeks ago, where the first round was kind of a dud, or it kind of started pretty slow and
got a little bit better as it went on, but I think what we're seeing now is a great second round.
Yeah.
Right? With a lot of good storylines and competitive series, even though at one time it didn't look like we'd have one. Even the Colorado-Dallas series, it looked like Colorado looked so good, and then Dallas put their foot on the gas, and all of a sudden you're like, ooh. And we'll talk a little bit about Colorado in a bit, but now Colorado looks like a different team between games 4 and 5. And so all of a sudden, it's probably a little bit of doubt in Dallas's mind right now.
We're also going to talk PWHL, but before we do that, we should, because I think it's a better segue, we should do Bad Boys. So this one, Carson Soucy and Nikita Zadorov each got supplemental discipline for the same play in which Zadorov rocked Connor McDavid, like kind of a, I think it was like a cross check, right? Across the back. And then as he was falling down, Soucy got him right in the face. And so Soucy got suspended for a game. I think Zadorov didn't just get fined.
Like, $5,000. Yeah.
But it was like a, I wonder if that's the quickest succession of two teammates to get supplemental discipline. Like, what's the record for that? Because it was about a half a second apart, the two infractions.
Yeah, yeah.
And I would even argue, because I'm a Carson Soucy fan, I would almost argue that he wasn't trying to hit him in the face. I bet you he was trying to hit him across like the chest, and because Zadorov whacked him and he started to fall down, he got him across the face.
I mean, I think even the player safety video kind of acknowledged that.
Yeah.
But he was still, it was with force and it was up high. That's what they kind of described it.
Yeah, and I think that's one of those where like, well, I didn't mean to murder the person.
Yeah, but I did intend to cross-check him.
Yeah,
right?
I was trying to shoot him in the shoulder and I...
Yeah.
Yeah.
The one thing I didn't like about it, and I'm kind of a Department of Player Safety like apologist. I think they do a fine job. I don't, and I know people will be like, what the hell? Like, they're so inconsistent. I think they're pretty consistent. I watch the videos, and I'm like, huh, that's a fair explanation. The one thing I didn't like, though, is Zach Hyman kind of came in really late and put a cross check up high on Zadorov that either got missed or ignored, because I think that was... It was the kind of same thing. Yeah, he was jumping in to defend his teammate, but I think that doesn't justify cross-checking somebody in the face, even if it is Zadorov, who I don't like, for the record. So
fair enough.
Unless he's on Seattle, he'll be.
Right. The other bad boys that we had was the Valerie Nichushkin situation. Now, normally, the players going into the player, what's it called? The player treatment?
Assistance program.
Don't land in bad boys. You know what I never knew about this player assistance program is that players can get suspended based on what happens after they've gone through the first round of it. And so Val Nichushkin,
through the second round.
Two,
yeah.
They could face some sort of, I don't know. Anyway, so after this third round, now he's been suspended for 6 months, right?
And he needs to be reinstated.
Right.
And we still don't know what he was suspended or
what he was in the assistance program.
Why he's back in this quote-unquote program. Right? Yeah. And because it's funny because I thought a long time I thought it was like almost self-checked in.
Yeah.
Like you need to opt into it and acknowledge. And I don't think that's the case in this situation, because why would you opt in to get suspended 6 months? Now, theoretically, you still can.
Mm-hmm.
But there's conditions that he needed to adhere to. And... You know, I've had a healthy debate on Monday Hockey about this. It's not clear what it is, right? How it triggered. Like, is because somebody speculated that there's testing, like potentially drug testing, but that's not totally clear if that's even a scenario. But somehow he violated the terms of him leaving stage two. And so that's why he's in stage three. It's tough because you want to feel for the player if he's going through some stuff, right? But even the players were kind of remarking, in Jack Johnson in particular, was like, he made his choice. That's all I'm going to say about it. Mm-hmm. Like, implying it's on him.
Yeah.
But, you know, it's odd, right? Like, because we don't have all the information, and I don't want to speculate too much, but
and it's
weird situation.
It's got to be raw for the Avalanche too, right? I mean, this is two consecutive postseasons. I mean, you grind through a regular season. He's one of your best players in both postseasons, and then he's just gone. Like, I'm sure it's pretty raw for them. So I don't know what
we still
you can
never
read into it.
Really got answers on what happened last year at the Four Seasons here in Seattle, right? That caused him to
and
leave.
We don't know.
The Kraken Avalanche series and be a huge distraction for the Avalanche, and now
because he wasn't suspended,
no. No, but he left for team. Personal reasons.
Yeah.
And then came back at the beginning of the season, and it was like, yeah, we're just not going to talk about that. And then they were like, let's move on. And then that's what happened. Everybody just kind of moved on from it. But nobody really like ever explained what happened there. So
yeah, and I think I'm sure I've said this before. I'm not sure we require it.
Like, no.
You know, like as much as we want to know, the reality is we're not entitled to. So
oh, fair enough. Yeah, so that's Bad Boys. Talking about the PWHL, since we're talking playoffs anyway, Yeah, we kind of are. But PWHL, what's happening with my PWHL Minnesota team, John?
Well, they forced a game five, which yes. is in the essentially the first round, but it's also the semifinal because there's only four teams in the playoffs against the top seed Toronto. Now, pretty unfortunate in game three, Natalie Spooner, the top goal scorer, top point getter in the regular season, tore her ACL and is out. So she's going to be out for a while. Really unfortunate, obviously, but that's quite the series. And in the other side of the bracket, Boston.
Go Boston.
The Boston hockey team in the PWHL.
Sure.
Beat Montreal in the best of five series, and they were the lower seed in that one, too. Right. So
finally, Curtis catches a break, huh?
Finally,
they won a triple overtime game. Mm. Triple overtime game. Yeah. Wild.
It's been great, and I've watched a couple of the games on YouTube lately, and it looks great.
Yeah, it better looks good.
Better than, let's say, some of the other subscription services that I pay for.
Indeed, and we might be watching at this very moment.
Yeah.
No, I agree. It looks good. The environment in the arenas has been good. The quality of play has been great. I mean, the playoffs has been a lot of fun. If you haven't checked it out yet, check in for the final. Who cares? It doesn't matter if you haven't seen it up to that point. You should check it out. It's been good stuff.
Let's move on to our weekly one-timers. Whoopsh. Our first weekly one-timer. Whoopsh. Chicago Blackhawks have been sued once again for what, John? Did you put this on the notes?
I did. But, okay. Well, they're being accused of failing to investigate and report sexual assault allegations against multiple individuals during a time the plaintiff was doing work for them, as a kind of a consultant. I read a little bit up on this, and it's a little murkier than some cases. So I think we should wait a little bit more before we crap on the Blackhawks again.
Mm-hmm.
But I, you know, they haven't really done anything to justify like giving them the benefit of the doubt. But this one seems a little unsettled. So I think we're going to find out more about it.
Okay. All right. Well, let's just leave it at that then. Our next weekly one-timer. The Coachella Valley Firebirds just took a 1-0 lead in round three.
Best of five.
AHL. Is this best of five?
It is still? Five.
Yeah.
Okay.
I think I might have said it was best of seven.
Yeah,
not.
I think
it's best
of five. Yeah. And that's important, though. They got the game one win. So 3-2, came down to the wire, on them.
This is one of those, and last time it was that weird kind of, they started away for two games and then had three games at home. This time it's two at home.
2-1.
Two on the road.
One at home. With a little less travel.
You know, with 80 miles between, they should have done a 1-1-1-1-1-1.
Yeah,
totally. That would have been perfect.
Yeah, that would have been fun.
Our next weekly one-timer, Connor Ingram has been awarded the Bill Masterton Trophy, and Jacob Trouba wins the Mark Messier NHL Leadership Award, which I believe is for delivering the dirtiest hits, correct?
not quite.
Oh.
But you remember Connor Ingram entered the Player Assistance Program 3 years ago. This was for, he kind of revealed this after the fact, is obsessive compulsive disorder that was undiagnosed. Yeah. And so he was kind of going through some stuff. Darren lost his wedding ring.
Just my wedding. I'm just trying to find it. Yes. I got it.
Thank God.
Yeah.
So, and Trouba, as dirty as he is on the ice, he's actually a pretty good steward in the community. And, we've seen the commercials with him and his mom and the cancer center and stuff. And I believe his wife's a nurse or a doctor. I should probably have got that right. But
let's not let the facts of the story get in the way of your narrative here, John.
You're the one that said he got it for the biggest hits on the ice. So
not biggest hits. I said dirtiest.
Dirtiest.
What about that one where he tried to elbow whoever it was the head and missed and then threw himself headfirst into the...
I didn't see that right away. I'm sure it was on a Monday night when I was playing hockey. And oh my God, that is the funniest hit I've ever seen.
Yeah. It was quite
He missed.
Yeah.
He missed.
Thank goodness.
Thankfully, he missed. Yeah. Do we want to, those are our weekly one-timers. Do we want to do tweets of the week? I think I'm the only one that has one. I'm the only one that wrote one down.
Well, this is just your segment now.
So all right.
Just go for it.
Yeah. Well, I wasn't really going to, it wasn't really a tweet anyway. I just wanted to comment on Paul Maurice and his
press conference
where he said he kind of yelled at his team because they were down, I think, 1-0, and he just didn't like the way that they were playing. So he went in this tirade. You could like see him kind of screaming and shouting during a TV timeout. And then he was asked about it during his presser, and he said something like, well, they needed some profanity in their lives, and I'm really good at delivering that. And then he said the F word to explain that.
Did you see his exchange with a friend of the pod, Greg Wyshynski?
About
the goalie interference?
Yes, I think I did.
Or the non-goalie interference?
I think I did.
Anyway, and he like accused him of, Greg, of being local media from Boston. He's like, I'm not from Boston. I'm from Brooklyn. Mm-hmm. That was pretty funny. So
that was pretty funny. Paul Maurice is, he's got some personality on him, doesn't he? He's a good time.
I do think there's like tactics there to just, to kind of take the attention away from the players, like intentionally, like to kind of take the heat off them. So I don't know.
And it's funny that that was your tweet of the week. If I had one, it would have been all of the various tweets about Jim Montgomery doing the diving motion.
My God. That was so great.
Which were hilarious. Mm-hmm. So the two coaches in that series are really just, they're giving the media a lot to talk about.
Take us out.
Mm-hmm.
Thank you to KrakenFan50 for her wonderful review. Is it her? Was I presumptuous there?
Okay. No, I think that's right.
Okay. You too can hear your reviews read on the podcast if you leave a 5-star review and make Darren sing a little bit more, because we all love that, and make it challenging this time. So thanks again to our wonderful patrons who support us on Patreon. You're going to have a bonus episode for you this week, so look out for that one. You'll get early access to the interview. And yes, thank you to our wonderful supporters. We love you all.
You didn't have to cut me off. Make it like it never happened and that we were nothing. And I don't even need your love, but you treat me like a stranger and that feels so rough. No, you didn't have to stoop so low. Have your friends collect your records and then change your number. Guess that I don't need that though. Now you're just somebody that I used to know.